Thank you, David, and thank all of you for being here this morning. We have a good crowd this morning. We have a lot of empty pews down here. A lot of people are sick, and a lot of people are out. The weather, no doubt, has played a big part in that as well, with the anticipation of bad weather over the next few days. We do want to encourage you, as Ben did, to be very, very careful in driving. But we're so glad that all of you are here this morning. It is a wonderful day. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And we're thankful unto God for giving us the privilege of being able to be here. And if you're visiting this morning and you're here for the first time, we hope you'll come again and know that you're welcome. We have a very active congregation of God's people who are striving to do the Lord's will. We have not forgotten our mission as a church, and that is to seek and save the lost. And that's what we are about. We are not here to entertain one another or to be entertained. It is our initiative to tell you what God says in the Holy Bible, and we're glad that you're here this morning for that. Let me ask you a question. The best, and first of all, you may think, well, you know, what is the best part of waking up? The best part of waking up in the morning is not Folgers in your cup. It isn't. The best thing about waking up in the morning is knowing that you have God in your life and that the Lord Jesus Christ rules over you as the Savior and Lord. Now, I like coffee. Y'all like coffee? Don't get real thirsty. You're going to have to wait a while. Now, but anyway, it is a wonderful, wonderful thing. But the most important thing about waking up is having Christ in our cup. And knowing that He is the Lord of my life. You know, there's so many ways that we are blessed. Someone said, "In God is my salvation, my glory and rock of my strength and my refuge in God." Psalm 62 and verse 7. Aren't we thankful today that God should mean much, much more to us than a cup of coffee? What did you think about when the sun was rising this morning? What went through your mind? You know, the thing that goes through my mind every day is that God has allowed me to open these little jewels right here and to see the dawn of a new day and to be blessed of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And as the sun has started rising this morning, may our faith rise as well. But secondly, the best part of waking up, it is knowing I can order the morning. Now, what I mean by that is that we can make this day what God wants it to be and what you want it to be if it is consistent with what God wants. You know, I used to have a friend who would always say on television, when he closed his newscast, "Make it a great day." I don't know if you remember Scott Sams, who used to be on Channel 8, actually out of Dallas, but he would always say, "Make it a great day." And you know what? We can make it a great day as well. We generally say to one another, "Well, have a great day," and we really mean that. But you know what? We don't have a great day. We make it a great day. And this day will be based upon what you envision it to be. It can either be a bad day. Sometimes people say, "I'm having a bad day." You know, when you think about the fact that God has blessed you, He has abundantly blessed you, He cares for you, He loves you, He ministers to every need that you have, how could you possibly have a bad day? You know, yesterday I was over in Natchitoches, Louisiana, and I was conducting a funeral. And Audrey and I got in last night about 6:30, and we were coming down Crockett Road. I really wasn't paying any attention to my speed. I know you know where I'm going with this. But anyway, we pulled up in our driveway, and there was a policeman who had pulled up right behind us. And I don't know, it was a local yokel. Pardon the expression, but I don't know whether it was a local policeman or whether it was a highway patrol or whatever. And come to find out, when I got out of the car, it was a highway patrolman. And I said, "Well, I thought he was just welcoming us back home." And I looked at him, I said, "Officer, did I do something wrong?" And he said, "Yeah, Brother Manuel." He said, "I don't know if you realized it or not, but you were kind of speeding a little bit down Crockett Road here." And I said, "Oh, I was?" And man, he had the lights flashing. I thought, "Well, what are my neighbors going to think, you know?" I mean, they were going 90 to nothing. I'm just glad they didn't put a siren on. But anyway, I got out and I talked to him a little bit, and he said, "Yeah, you were speeding down the highway there." And I said, "Well, my goodness, I didn't realize that. I guess I'm just tired from getting in from over in Louisiana, and we just came into town." And he said, and I said, "Well, what did you clock me doing?" He said, "Well, I clocked you doing 59 and a 45. I said, "Oh, my goodness." I said, "Well, I really apologize to you, officer." And I said, I generally try to abide by the law." And he says, "Well, do you have your driver's license?" I said, "Yes, sir." I gave him my license. He said, "Do you have insurance?" "Yes." Gave him an insurance card. And he came back in a few minutes and he said, "I'm not going to give you a ticket." He said, "You're a preacher." No, he didn't say that. He said, "I'm not going to give you a ticket because I know you don't." He said, "I was looking at your driver's record," and he said, you have an impressive driver's record. You have not had a moving violation in 77 years. And I said, "You're exactly right." Is that worth an applause? Now, and so anyway, he was extremely nice. And I asked him if he was married, and he said yes. And I said, "Do you have any children?" "No, I don't." And I mean, I was putting him through the third degree, you know. And I said, "Well, look, we'd love to have you come visit with us at our church." And he said, "Well, where do you preach?" And I said, "Well, right over the hill up there, Crockett Road Church Christ." He said, "Yeah." He said, "Don't you have somebody that works for DPS in that church?" And I said, "Well, no, but we need to." And so anyway, we just kept talking and conversing, and he was just an extremely, he's the kind of guy if you're going to speed, you better make sure you get him. But he was just a wonderful fella, and I appreciated it so much. But that could have made it a bad day, but it didn't make it a bad day. I was thankful, and even if he'd given me a ticket, it would have still been a good day because I really deserved it. But at the same time, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. David said that in Psalms 118 and verse 24. And you know what? This is a good day. It's going to be cold outside. It's going to be snowing maybe tomorrow night, but it will be a good day. The best part of waking up is by conversing with God. Being able to communicate to our God who is in heaven. Have you ever thought about the magnitude of being able to call upon the great I Am, our great God, and to be able to talk with the Lord? We sing that old song, "And He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I am His own." We can talk to God. God talks to us through His Word. I've told you many times I believe that God speaks to our heart. I don't think there's an audible sound of God. I don't think we hear Him in that regard. But I do believe that when we pray and when we ask God, I believe that God reveals it to us through His Word. And I really believe that God speaks to our heart. And what a wonderful way to begin the day. That is the best thing to do, isn't it? It's much, much better than a cup of coffee. It honestly is to start our day with prayer. Someone has appropriately said that if we hymn both ends of the day with prayer, it is less likely to come unraveled in the middle. And morning prayer is so important. In Psalms 5 and 3, David said, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up." You know, that's what we ought to do, isn't it? Is to direct our prayer unto God and begin the day with prayer. Sometimes we wonder why things happen the way they do in our life. In the middle of the day, or maybe at the end of the day, you come to the conclusion, this has been a horrible day. You know what? Maybe you forgot to pray. Jesus in Luke 18 and verse 1 said that men ought always pray and faint not. Paul, in writing the church to the Thessalonica congregation, made this observation. He said that we are to pray without ceasing. The disciples saw the impact of what prayer could do, and they came to Jesus in Matthew, the 6th chapter, and they said, "Jesus, teach us how to pray." You know, one of the earliest things I can remember was my parents teaching me how to pray. I'd never prayed before, and so they were teaching me how to pray. And, you know, we ought to be teaching our children how to pray and to converse with God as well. Psalm 6 and verse 9 says, "The Lord hath heard my supplication, and the Lord will receive my prayer." The Bible says his ear is always open to the prayers of his children. "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord, and in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee." In Proverbs 15 and verse 8, King Solomon said, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight." Did you know that God has already heard from us this morning? I appreciate Rory's prayer a moment ago, and he was directing it to God in behalf of us. And we're always careful to say that whoever's leading the prayers, we are to be praying with them, that they're leading us in prayer. They're out front verbalizing it, but that it should be the same sentiment of our heart as well. We ought to pray because God will answer. We're not just praying to the wind. We're not praying to an idol somewhere. But we're actually praying and communicating to the great God of heaven. And in Psalms 91 and verse 15, another passage that addresses this thought is this one, that "He shall call upon me and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him." Think about it. When we're going through trouble, we go to God. That's not the only reason you go. But we ought to be able to go to God in the good times as well as perhaps what we call the bad times of life and start ordering our morning. What kind of day did you want today to be? You know, you can order. You know, you go into a restaurant, you order a particular meal, and that's what you get. Well, I believe that when we go into the presence of God, we order what we want as long as it's consistent with the teaching of God. Then God is the deliverer. He is the one who provides for us. Listen to what the psalmist said. "Give ear to my words, O Lord, and consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray, my voice thou shalt hear in the morning again, and I will direct it unto thee. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness." God doesn't love wickedness. He loves righteousness. And he wants us not to be foolish. "For the foolish shall," in verse 5, "shall not stand in thy sight. But thou hatest all the workers of iniquity." I have come to the conclusion, if you win the morning, you win the day. I really believe the morning is the most important aspect of our day. And I just am so thankful that God allows us to see his beautiful creativity in the sunrise every morning. That God brings to life all those things that have been sleeping through the night. Do not face the day until you have faced God in prayer. Let me ask you a question this morning. Have you prayed this morning? Have you communicated unto God what you want this day to be? You know, I believe we can pray to God about anything. I think we can pray to him about the desires of our heart. Did you know the Bible says, and God said this, "No good thing will I withhold from them who walk uprightly." That God will bless us in ways that we may not even comprehend at this moment. Dear God, thank you for another day. Please watch over my family and my friends. That's a prayer that I like to pray unto God. It's just a simple prayer. You know, prayer doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be loquacious for us to have a prayer that is something that God desires to hear. Sometimes we get the feeling that it has to be a long, long, enduring prayer. I used to feel that way about preaching sermons. I used to think, boy, you had to have a long sermon, a 30-minute sermon, for it to be effective. But I've learned that a sermon doesn't have to be eternal to be important and to be enduring. And that's a great lesson sometimes that people never, ever learn. Paul wrote in Philippians 4 and 6, he says, "Don't be anxious about anything." That is, don't worry about anything. And maybe this morning as I speak up here, there are some of you that are worried about a lot of things. Maybe you're kind of like Martha. You're careful and troubled about a lot of things. And he says, don't be anxious about anything. But in every, notice this, in everything. In other words, in every situation, wherever you find yourself, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then Hebrews 4 and 16 says, then let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I do believe that when we pray, we need to pray believing. Sometimes people say, well, seeing is believing. I think when it comes to prayer, believing is seeing. I believe that when we believe that God responds to our needs, He knows when we have ulterior motives, and those sometimes people go before God with ulterior motives, bad motives. Sometimes people pray that they're going to win the lottery. Y'all haven't been praying that way, have you? I hope you hadn't. But a lot of people pray that they'll win the lottery and they'll have a lot of money. That's not praying to God in the right way. It's kind of like a story I heard about a young preacher one time who was walking down the street. And he actually noticed a small boy trying to press the doorbell on a house. And the doorbell was too high for him. The little boy couldn't reach it. So after watching the boy's effort for some time, the preacher walked up behind him. And he gave him a little boost so he could kind of lift him to the doorbell. And there was a solid ring. And then crouching down to the child's level, the preacher smiled. And he asked the little boy, and he says, now, little man, what do we do now? And he said, you run, preacher, run. You know, well, sometimes we don't know what's going on in the mind of a child, but sometimes we don't know what's going on in the mind of others as well. You know, the commands of God are so important. And in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 8, Paul says, therefore, he says, I want the men in every place to pray, to pray, to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5. And with all prayer and petition and praying in the Spirit, Ephesians 6 and verse 18. In Psalms 55 and 17, David said, now listen to this one. This is an important thought, folks. He said, pray in the morning, in the evening, at noon. He said, I will pray and I will cry aloud and he will hear my voice. In other words, we ought to be in a prayerful spirit every day, wherever we are. We should not be afraid to call upon our God. But sometimes people make excuses for their failure to pray. They say, well, I'm too hungry. I wish that guy had not led such a long prayer. I'm hungry. I want to get out of here. I want to beat all the other churches to lunch. Some people say, I'm too tired. I'll do it later. I forgot. Or perhaps maybe the one that people often say is, I'm too busy. You know, we ought to pray to God and ask God to help us to accept the things that we cannot change, to change the things that we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. There it is. Now, sometimes we don't, and sometimes we fail to pray, and so the day doesn't turn out like we want it to. The approach of faithful men, think about it. David's ability to face the intense moments of his life came from starting each day with prayer. It's so important. I like my prayer time. I get up early in the morning and I start praying and asking God to help me live this day as you would have me to live and bless me in ways that I can't even imagine. I think about Daniel in the Old Testament, one of the great biblical characters of all time. Renowned, I guess you could say. He followed strictly what God had commanded, and he did the will of God regardless of what was going on. But the best part of waking up in the morning is by dependence on God to forgive our sins. You know, almost in every prayer we always include that, and the reason we do is because we're all sinners. Romans 3:23 says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, that there is none righteous, no, not one. We all sin. We all err. John said, if we say that we have not sinned, we lie, we deceive ourselves, and self-deceit is a big thing, isn't it? We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, why should we pray? And how should we pray? God, be merciful to me, a sinner, Luke 18. And if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want you to notice a little word in that particular text that you may not have focused on. It's the word just. It says, for the Lord is just in forgiving us. Some people look at us and when we do things wrong, people say, well, they're just unjust. They're unworthy of praying to God. Not so. Not what God said. He said, if we acknowledge our sins, that he is faithful and just. It is an act of justice for God to forgive us of our sin. And David said in Psalm 32 that I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave me, notice this, the guilt of my sin. Not only the sin, but the guilt thereof. You know, sometimes it's so hard for us to forgive ourselves, isn't it? When we do wrong, it's hard for us to acknowledge our guilt. Even after we pray about it, sometimes we still feel so guilty about it. But you know what? God wants us to have that humble attitude. But he wants us to get rid of the guilt pains as well. And to know that God has forgiven us, for I acknowledge my transgression. And my sin is ever before me, Psalm chapter 51. And then in 1 John 1:9, if we confess that sin, here's another translation uses the word faithful instead of the word just. But that God is just and faithful and will forgive us of our sins and to purify from all unrighteousness. Number five, the best part of waking up is by moving in the right direction. You know, sometimes we go in the wrong direction. We do. And you know, we stumble through and we fumble and we drop the ball and all those kinds of things because we are not perfect. God asks us to be progressive. That is, in the sense that we are moving in our relationship with God. We're coming closer to God every day. We'll never attain perfection. Paul wrote in the book of Philippians chapter 3, this one thing I do is to press forward for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus my Lord. Paul says, I haven't attained that perfection and will not attain it, but I can make progress. And that's what I appreciate about people who are trying to live the Christian life, that they're making progress, that they're doing what God has asked them to do. They may never be perfect and won't. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1 gives this admonition. It says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on toward perfection, not laying again to the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. See what he's saying? Just start moving forward. But what does it mean to go on to perfection? Well, number one, you start your day with Jesus. Secondly, you leave your worries with God. He is the one who cares for us. And then we begin to experience God in our life daily. And then we seek to find our place in ministry. Did you know that we are ministers one of another? I'm not the only minister here. We're all ministers. We all. And when we're all saints of God. Boy, that blows the minds of people when you tell them that they're a saint. I wonder what people would think when you say, do you know Mr. Brown? Oh, you mean Saint Brown? You think that would blow their mind? Probably would, wouldn't it? But when Paul addressed Christians, he addressed them as the saints of God. The saints of God. And we should find our place in ministry. We should serve with love. interdependently upon one another and upon our God. And that we should reign in life by receiving the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. And pray in faith and bring heaven down to earth. Someone said, a little faith will take you into heaven, Christ said, but a great faith will bring heaven to you. And He does. He brings heaven unto us. And then we dwell in God's Word. And then the end result is that we change our world. You know, the beautiful thing about the ministry of Christ is that it's punctuated by repeated appointments to find time to pray alone. You know, we often talk about Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He's praying there, and He is, Father, not my will, but Your will be done in all things. Do you know what? Jesus went about praying everywhere. I mean, He taught us to do it in Matthew 6, and He says men should always be praying. He's set the example. He's always praying unto God. Those were not the only times that we find Jesus ever praying. For John 20, 30 and 31 says, many other things did Jesus in the presence of His disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe, and believing you might have life through His name. And last of all, the best part of waking up is knowing that you have obeyed God's plan of salvation. To me, there could be no greater horror to stand in the presence of God without having done this, without having obeyed God's plan of salvation. You know, and it really is God's plan. It's not my plan. I didn't design it. The church here didn't design this plan. But it was designed of God. God is the great architect. He's the one that drew the blueprint for us. And He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's your Savior speaking. That's what He says. Read it, Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. And in Acts 2 and verse 38, on the day of Pentecost, the same message fell on the ears of those who had gathered to celebrate this momentous occasion. And they cried out and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. So the best part of waking up is not coffee in your cup. I don't care what brand you use. The best part of waking up is being right with our God and knowing that you are a Christian. Do you know that this morning? Do you know it? Do you know that if you were to die, that you would go and be in the presence of God? Jerry Hahn knew it. And because she knew it, we can rejoice. As God said in Psalms 116, that precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of His saints. Benny Peake yesterday, my friend who passed away, knew it. And with great assurance, he knew it. There was no big question mark over his life. Is there a question mark over your life? Or is there an exclamatory mark? What will the best part of waking up tomorrow morning be for you? Are you a Christian? Or are you a child of the Most High? Maybe you are, and I hope and pray that you are. Maybe you've drifted away from God. Maybe you've erred. Maybe you need to come back to God and acknowledge your sin and say, God, help me. I know I'm not perfect, but I'm trying to progress. And if you're not a Christian, God's plan of salvation is very simple, that even a young child could understand it. That we believe in Jesus, having heard the word, And having believed, we're willing to confess Him as Lord and Savior and to give up a lifestyle that's inconsistent with what Christ Jesus actually taught. That's called repentance. It means that you're willing to change. You want to change. Sometimes people say, well, I want to change, but I can't do it by myself. And you know what? You're exactly right. And God gives us the power to live the Christian life. And if you've not been baptized into Christ, that power doesn't come until you have been immersed in water. That's what Jesus said. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and that you might receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the great gift of God. And it can be yours this morning if you would come. And you know what? When you do that, you can say with David, hey, my cup runneth over. May not be a coffee cup, but it's the cup of salvation. And it runs over. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will hear my voice and will open the door, I will come to him and I will sup with him. And he with me, Revelation 3 and verse 20. Would you say this morning to God, fill my cup. Fill my cup as we stand and as we sing.